Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 25th on the West Coast, now October the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Mountain Time Zone is in between, coming around in about an hour. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially those current and former U.S. military personnel. Got to spend 2 hours with you earlier today on Drew Raine's show, A Marine's Disquisition, and we talked about MK Ultra mind control, and we might tackle that topic a little bit more tonight. Also, in case you may not have been in tune with BBS Radio Station 2. During the past hour, I got to sit in a little bit with my good friend, friend of almost three decades now, Fred Badali, who has a new show called Third Stream View, and I encourage you to listen to that show. Fred had his maiden voyage tonight on BBSRadio.com, did an excellent job, and I want to compliment him and let him know I'm proud to have him as a friend, and let you know that you're in for a lot of really inspirational, informational, and even some entertaining shows in the future. He'll be on BBS Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern Time, 11 Central, 10 Mountain. So be sure to make a note of that. Lots to talk about. I think I'm going to go right ahead and bring tonight's guest on. He hosts his own radio show, as many of you know, on the Micro Effect Network. And his show is called The Story Behind the Story. He is a researcher, an author, a naturopath, and actually a PhD. He's got a lot of experience in many, many different topics. Certainly what's going on in the medical community, what's going on in nutritional circles, and what's going on with the banking industry. And he's well aware of all the corruption. He's my regular Monday night guest here on Evident Footprints. I welcome back Dr. A. True Ott. Dr. Ott, good evening.
Well, good evening to you, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show again, and nice to have somebody do a little bit more radio than I'm doing lately.
it's a lot. It's a big responsibility, you know, as you well know. This is your third hour of radio today, if you've not been on any other shows. So
I have been on other shows as well. I've been on another hour earlier. I'm starting to get some requests for more updates on this NSA center going into Utah. I don't know if it'll make any difference, but there's things happening, Don. You talked on Drew's show today about the MK Ultra. Well, as you are aware, probably I've interviewed at least I think seven times on my show a survivor of the MK Ultra program. She's a total mind controlled slave that's broken out of her programming, her ritualistic abuse as a youngster, 6 year old, all of it. It's just everything you'd your textbook case of a presidential model, so called. Okay, she called me last night. And while she doesn't want me to give any specifics out because she's just still trying to sort it out, she did let me know she had been accessed last night. And I say accessed. It's her programming, her handler had given a code, a key. She's trying to sort it out. So something is up for the month of November, she says. Now, it all has to do with her so-called end times programming, and trust me, it's not pretty.
Now, is this something specifically for her, or let's say her individuated role in a much bigger plan?
Individuated role, as you would call it, in a much bigger plan. There's a definitive book on the subject by Pastor Russ Dizdar in your neck of the woods. I don't know if you had a chance to review his website, The Black Awakening.
Yeah. I get his newsletter, too. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so this is exactly what we're talking about here. She is very definitely one of what he calls the chosen ones. And as he outlines so very well in his book, there's as many as at least around 2 million of these minions, these mind-controlled lackeys, so-called chosen ones. But there's certain ones that seem to are given more important roles to play, et cetera, et cetera. Everything that Dizdar outlines in his book is what I've documented with Liz in her history. It's just phenomenal. And of course, we documented all of this well before Dizdar's book even came out.
Now, yeah, today on Drew's show, of course, we talked about Kathy O'Brien. In fact, he did a 3-hour show on Sunday that basically revealed much of what she was bringing to the forefront in terms of her programming and all the suffering that she went through, and then the process of recalling things, her relationship with Mark Phillips.
Let me just interrupt you real quickly.
Sure.
Mark Phillips is still and completely CIA. And to that end, Kathy O'Brien, I don't know how much of that it can take to the bank, just because of the disinformation ploy to control opposition. And that's my take. I mean, that's Liz's take on it as well. You really have got to get to the core of the demonic entity possessions. And if you don't do that, you are just controlled opposition. I don't see that happening in the case of Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips whatsoever. So I just say that as a...
Yeah, I have basically the same feeling. They're obviously wanting some of this information to come out, maybe to create the fear, maybe to see just to test the waters, to see what the reaction of the people is going to be, a litmus test, so to speak.
I think you're right. But a lot of her claims, I think, are exaggerated. The basic story is right, but again, I think that's by design for people to say, "Oh, come on now," and the mainstream people are saying that, frankly. That's my input on that subject, and again, it comes from not only Liz, but over a half dozen others that just know that these things, it's exaggerated in their opinion. But the basic storyline is accurate.
Yeah. Now, you and I have not really discussed Susan Ford at all, a.k.a. Bryce Taylor, the author of the book Thanks for the Memories. When she reached the age of 30, she was one who was going to be targeted as, or let's say, dispensable, okay, removed from the program and whatever that entails, whether they were going to kill her or make her life miserable. I don't think it could be any more miserable than what it was, not knowing what you're doing from moment to moment. But her relationship, much like Sarah Palin, was directly with Henry Kissinger, and she had Bob Hope assigned as her handler. Of course, Bob Hope would pass her from person to person as she was on assignment, because she would be basically downloaded with the questions and the commands to pass on, deliver as a messenger, if you want to use that term, to certain people like the Clintons, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, and she goes into quite a bit of detail about all the people, the meanings of certain song titles, and the role that she played in the careers of some of these people, and even her, as a presidential model, her affairs with various presidents. She would describe in great detail how they would fly her on a helicopter and take her out somewhere in the Pacific Ocean to a yacht to meet with Ronald Reagan. And, of course, this is all programmed. This is not something that she wanted to do. And she describes how her daughter, again, with that mysterious Kelly name, her daughter was brought into the same program and used as a means to blackmail her or extort her through the creation of fear as to what might happen to her daughter if she didn't comply with what they wanted going on. So she was pretty brave, and, of course, Ted Gunderson helped her bring her story out.
Right, and she's pretty much right on the money. I believe that her story is just as accurate as could be. So yeah. there's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tend to think when your handler, or, you know, we don't know if Mark Phillips was a handler, but we could surmise that he might have been or is. There's just a certain amount of information that Kathy O'Brien's going to bring out, and putting right. it in a book is a way to control what comes out.
Right.
So any comments you want to make in that regard, you know, certainly go ahead.
Well, like I said, I just have pretty strong sources that know the players that have, you know, basically filled me in on Phillips' role. And, you know, he's not consciously doing this. He is a victim himself in many ways, but again, I think the role is to basically misinform and disinform on certain areas and stretch the credibility envelope. And I think that's what's going on with them, as opposed to Bryce Taylor, who's, you know, I think legitimately on the up and up. But again, it shouldn't take away from the very basic message of these chosen ones that are so, you know, there's such a massive amount. It's stunning. Liz and I have interviewed and audio taped and videotaped much of her story. She doesn't want it all to come out. You know, she's not seeking the publicity at all. She's just trying to survive and piece it together for her own sanity at this point, okay? The so-called end times programming is just basically to create anarchy and open warfare in the streets of America. There's certain artists, musical artists, Phil Collins, for one, she knows very well a lot of the programming and the songs. I forget the name of the artist who did the song was the Delta Blues song. What's it called? Touchdown in the Land of the Delta Blues in the Middle of a Pouring Rain. That's 100% programming. 100% programming into these certain mind-controlled MKUltra slaves.
Or Collins' song, Tonight's the Night, for example.
The song, I Can Feel It Coming in the Air Tonight, is total programming. And if you go into the history, as you know, Don, that was the first music video played on the 21st 24 hours. It was continuously played on MTV when MTV premiered. And if you go and just Google up "I Can Feel It in the Air Tonight," Phil Collins video, oh my goodness, you talk about satanic ritual abuse and MK Ultra. Everything about that video screams mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And occultic music coming in. Yeah, it's just the open window, his out of body experience, he's floating. It's such a retainer program for these mind control slaves. And to have that go 24 hours straight on MTV's first 24 hours of its station just tells you a lot about the music industry, Don.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people in our listening audience are trying to figure out how this really plays into world events, how this plays into politics, how they may be affected, because they don't really see these things happening yet. Can you share some insight as to what they can look at? Certainly, we see it in what's going on in Washington and what's going on in Wall Street. This is all by design, the destruction of our nation's economy and the world economy and just this political insanity that's going on, whether it's laws created against us or the monies that are being spread throughout the world. Money that we don't have. This country has been bankrupt for going on a century, and yet they're pretending like everything is hunky dory. You know.
Well, it's the time of when the financial bubble really starts to unravel. It's just in the cards to take out the useless eaters, to basically bring their new order into play, which means a drastic reduction of the population. And I just would share with you and the listeners the first chapter of Dizdar's The Black Awakening.
Sure.
He part one is the prophetic future. He says, and of course he quotes the New Testament, "Unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be left," and that's Jesus referring to the so-called abomination of desolation. His first sentence is right out of Phil Collins' song, "You Could Feel It in the Air Tonight." It had the aroma of blood and frenzy. The atmosphere was charged with it. It was menacing, murderous, and malevolent all in one, but clearly much so more. The presence. An ancient presence of violence and evil was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I could sense it was on. Everything seemed on edge and ready to erupt. For years now, I knew this dark night was coming. It was now at the door. Then I heard the first shots. I jumped up and went to the window to watch. Like always, I had the cable news, the internet, shortwave, and the radio all on at the same time. At first, the explosions and gunshots began far away. Then I could tell they were moving closer and closer. I had my family near me. We were praying, and we did prepare. Immediately, the phone rang, and a friend of mine was screaming at me on the other end. That thing, that subject, that seminar you taught on and warned us about, it's happening, isn't it? I can't locate my family, and all the lights are out, he blasted. This person seemed angry at me. I thought of that phrase, "Don't shoot the messenger." Emails began pouring in with stories of crazy things, shootings, explosions, screams, people going raving mad everywhere, and I mean everywhere. News flashes were coming in. The media people were frantic. The sound of police sirens could be heard everywhere. This clearly was only the beginning. I just sat there watching, waiting for the next thing. I knew much more would follow. At one police station, the seasoned captain ordered his SWAT team to gather. John was in the weapons room when he heard the shots. He quickly pulled his weapon and stepped into the hallway. He was shocked to see his longtime friend Joe, firing his service revolvers and hitting another officer. Before John could shoot, he yelled out to his friend, "What in the heck are you doing? Are you crazy?" Joe turned toward him, but it wasn't Joe. Or was it? It looked like him, but his eyes and contorted face showed a different demeanor, dark and menacing. It was hard to analyze in such a brief moment. Nothing at the police academy had prepared John for this. Joe's eyes were black and glazed over. His face was contorted, and that haunting grin was eerie and menacing. With a look of total confusion, Captain John paused. He shouldn't have. He looked at Joe hard, as if to grasp for meaning. It was the wrong thing to do, but he didn't know what was standing in front of him. At that split second before John could pull the trigger, he heard that familiar crack. Joe had fired first. John fell down to the ground in pain, bleeding and quickly dying. Joe rushed by John without saying a word, for Joe had more work to do. Well, this is just an example of what we're talking about. We're talking sleepers, ladies and gentlemen. These chosen ones literally have demonic entities hidden down deep in their very soul. And at the right release point, a series of commands are given, and these entities come to the forefront. This is what we've documented with Liz and a few others as well. We've actually identified these demonic entities, Don, and released them out, moved them out. And they're very, very real, ladies and gentlemen. We're approaching Halloween, and this is no Halloween trick-or-treat story. It's absolutely spine-tingling. This is what has been prepared.
Now, this update that you mentioned from Liz, we're using the name Liz, as she prefers to be called, is, I guess, two questions come to mind. Is she thwarting her or resisting the programming, that she's aware of it on some conscious level, or is it her message or part of her programming to deliver that message to you?
I believe she's resisting it completely, to the point where, you know, she's still trying to piece together what exactly it is she's supposed to do. She knows she's been accessed. She is conscious of that. She knows that there is something in the works time-wise. She's not specific. She believes it's going to be somewhere around the end of November, around the Thanksgiving period. But she's waiting and seeing exactly if her memory will allow her to know. But she's had enough breakthroughs in the downloads where she's taken us to and I say us, me and other witnesses and a videographer, to the congregation points down in Salt Lake City, Don. And she had never consciously been here, but when she was downloading these things, she says, "Let's just drive and I know where to go. I can't give you an address, but I can see the landmarks, and I'll take you right to it." And sure enough, she took us to areas that were marked. I mean, these are large parking areas, big, huge parking lots with yellow area, blue, red, different colors for a large amount of people to gather. To have her just take us right to it, you know, it was just quite amazing.
And the color coding had to do with her programming, or the programming of a multitude of agents, if you want to, you know, sleeper agents, or was she able to discern what it meant at all?
Yeah, it's just both her programming and hundreds of thousands of others in the western states.
Is she aware of what would have to transpire? It sounds like they're going to start rounding people and taking them to that location.
Or just getting them, the sleepers, into a position and then giving them, you know, their orders. That's not clear as to who's going to be meeting there and under what circumstances. But it's definitely in the order of the scenarios of Distar's book. That's exactly what it entails. Agents that will go out and disrupt every walk of life.
Hmm.
And it can happen in literally a week's time in such chaotic convulsions. Each state would, of course, declare martial law. But then the military is so, you know, full of these sleepers as well, that people will start screaming for foreign troops to come and restore any type of order. And that's where I think the Chinese arm of the UN peacekeepers will be deployed.
Well, this is quite a scenario you're portraying. Now, is she aware or any others in this MK Ultra program aware of other staging areas? Why Salt Lake City?
Well, that's a hub of Utah, of course, Idaho, and Nevada, parts of northern Arizona. One of the huge areas, of course, in the more Midwest area would be the Denver area. DIA, International Airport, is also a key part of this as well. So, yeah, there's other hubs. Now, she's not aware of other places east of the Rockies. It's not in her programming, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure as Distar shows in the book, there definitely are other staging areas similar to what she showed. This is tied around, believe it or not, Verizon telephone services, because this gathering area is right at the corporate headquarters of Verizon.
Not a coincidence.
No.
CIA front company.
Well, I was just amazed that, you know, when they sold, when the FCC auctioned off the digital wave signals, you know, Verizon was one of the major players with that for some, whatever reason. I don't know how that fits into a cell phone technology. But a full one-third of the digital signal was reserved, and this is the prime bandwidth, I understand, was reserved for Homeland Security, DHS.
Yeah, as was the bandwidth on cable and satellite television, the high-definition version.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we keep telling people not to listen, not to watch. Just a lot of people find it very difficult. They're programmed to respond to it. And, you know, even if you tell them, well, you know, this is all propaganda, this is all mind control, they really don't seem to matter. Doesn't seem to bother them, you know.
Right. And it's, yeah, what can you say? It's the evidence is all around if you really want to dig. And so many people, Don, just think, well, so what? You know, it's all a fairy tale. They don't want to believe it. They just want to keep, keep the status quo. And the status quo is a slippery slope downward. That's what I talked about today, exposing for 2 hours the whole monetary system and how incredibly corrupt it's been. We've touched on this in our interviews on this show quite a bit. But you know, there was the third quarter figures have just come out on the derivatives market. I got to share this with you, Don. I you might be aware of this, but
sure, go ahead.
J.P. Morgan, it can't survive this large amount of derivatives. The notional derivatives over $81 trillion. Are you kidding me? I mean, how in the world can that continue to be sustainable? The entire world's gross national product for fiscal year 2009 was 60 some odd trillion dollar GNP. The United States was 20 trillion. How can you have 81 plus trillion dollars of derivatives when it's so much more than the entire GNP? It beggars the imagination. It really does.
Yeah, I heard you mention some of the banks. I wanted to point out, if I could, I'm not correcting you. Over a year ago, I had Walter Burian on the show, and one of the first things he was talking about was the stashes of capital that the leading banks had. And of course, he was naming banks like Citibank and J.P. Morgan. LaSalle Bank was being postured to possibly be one of the largest banks out of Chicago. And, of course, Walter caught that. And one of the banks, I think it may have been LaSalle, had assets in the neighborhood of $90 trillion. How does a bank get that much money unless something corrupt is going on?
That's a good question. You know, and Burian had a presentation there this last August convention that I spoke at as well. It's not really conspiracy con, the Axiom Truth Tellers Convention. And he made all these declarations on his video, his presentation, concerning, of course, the CAFR, systems, the annual financial reports. But you're right. I questioned him about that afterwards. I said, are you sure you're reading that right? There's not that much capital in the whole world. Really, I just said, look at the infrastructure. This is from the Government Accounting Office. Let me pull the exact number. This is 2005 numbers. All of the infrastructure of the country, as far as public and private assets, you know, whether it's government buildings, private buildings, the total infrastructure of highways, bridges, roads, you know, the whole thing was $68 trillion, according to the Government Accounting Office. Now, I think that's about accurate. If you really look state by state, Utah, for instance, has the same numbers, and they're not even $1 trillion in infrastructure. That's a lot of money. I mean, that's a lot of asset value, and that's in, you know, appraised values, Don. So I really question those numbers that he parlays out. I don't know how he, you know, where he gets the statistics, frankly.
Well, if you look at the Ponzi schemes 2 years ago, and we're talking about September, mid-September of 2008, there were over $660 trillion in derivatives and hedge funds out there. Now, are those actual assets? No, but some of that plays on the fact that if you took the whole world's wealth into consideration, and that if you think $1 trillion or a quadrillion is stretching the truth, imagine 45 zeros.
Yeah, and that's my point. These notional derivatives are astronomically insane numbers. There is no hard asset binding them. It's like 20,000% above the hard asset basis,
mm-hmm.
which is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't hold. It doesn't make sense unless they're dealing with somebody in the Handan galaxy or whatever, and their derivatives out to the other Galactic Federation. I'm just throwing that at being facetious. There's only so much wealth this world can generate as far as a ceiling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's your real asset value.
Well, I'm speaking of the assets that were traditionally used to back whatever financial system would be in place around the world. If you just look at gold and silver, do we know how much gold has been mined and refined?
Yeah, we do. We do. In fact, in a world, let's see, I've got a book here that this is as of 2009. And this is the problem with going back to a gold-based security because, you know, the Rothschild cartel basically has monopoly on the gold.
Yeah, they manipulate the price so they can create whatever kind of economy around that they want to. Gold isn't necessarily the answer either.
No, not at all. It just has to be honestly created by the government of the people, the republic of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have honest treasury, honest money system. And it has to have some kind of a basis to the gross national product. If it was honestly done, an American U.S. Treasury-backed dollar would easily be the strongest currency at all.
Well, when Ben Bernanke was asked numerous times to disclose who received the funding during the bailout, and his refusal to name those people show that they have something to hide. What other conclusion can you draw from such a statement? You know, it's not their intention to reveal who's profiting from all of this corruption. They would have to admit, we would see immediately that it's corruption. So we can only assume that they're continuing to hide the corruption.
Okay, here's the statistics on 2006. This is, again, from the website goldeagle.com. There's an above-ground stock of gold. Now, this is not, you know, it's already been mined and processed. 1,866,141,339,840 grains of gold. So if you divide the August 2006 world population of 6.5 roughly billion people, that comes out to about 285 grains of gold per person. Okay? So divide that into $1 coin the size of the American dime, which is 35 grains, right? Then we have a money supply of $8 of gold per person for a total world money supply of $52 billion. See, that's the gold value.
Mm-hmm.
We have world, you know, whether it's yen or euros or dollars or British pounds, well in excess of that. You know, the world's economies are based on a gold standard. It's the Rothschild central bank in action. And it, you know, the point is if we stayed with a solid value, we would have less money in circulation, but we would have the real wealth of the world as far as, you know, food supplies, other precious metals and everything being more equitably transferred out, and you'd have less money buying more. If it's honest, that's the point.
Yeah, I think the key to this is free enterprise. You know, on the last show I did before this show tonight, Fred Badali brought up the issue of free enterprise. And what does that mean? Does that mean free slavery? You know. Everything ends up being slavery, regardless of what they call it. I'm told a vast deposits of gold buried in underground caverns as far as you can see. These are not funds that are reported to the banks nor to the World Monetary Fund or the Bank for International Settlements. These are the old ancient Ming Dynasty elders that have this money, that have this gold, this vast wealth from thousands of years of maintaining it. Now, how they came about it is one issue, but this is not being audited. It's not being added to the numbers, to the figures. Every person on the planet would be a millionaire, a multimillionaire, if wealth was distributed equally. Now, to those that have created this draconian system, that would be insanity for anyone to even suggest that should happen. We are cattle, we are sheep, we are animals, we are lower than many of the beasts, even, in their numerous doctrines. But making the decision or coming to the realization that things don't have to be that way, we don't have to accept that as our lot, certainly there are many solutions. Now, the destruction of the planet is not a solution. It may be for them, but that's no more or less insane than anything else they do. Would you agree with that?
Right? Well, yeah, and you know, you've got to have some intrinsic wealth value. For instance, it really doesn't matter what your currency is backed in. It could be grain or corn future, or even soy future. I mean, anything that comes that is consumable and usable and is value, that could be the basis or one of the structured bases of an honest monetary system, not some crazy printing press with a bunch of nutcases out there just spewing out trillions and hoping nobody will catch on to it. That's what's been happening since at least 1999. This is what derivatives are all about. They're supplanting that the derivative values with, you know, they're wanting to make it the currency value of the dollar, and this is why the dollar is falling like a rock in world markets now, and why it could very well be just devalued. You got to understand that's their program and that's their plan to do so.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, yeah, oh my goodness, it's never too late to do the right thing, and that's what I, you know, we had the interview with Anton Chaykin and others who screamed, and I scream it too. We've got to get back to the Glass-Steagall controls. We've got to stop these big banks from taking and blowing up these derivatives to the point where it's out of control. That's what's happening now. And see, that's what happened in 1920, in the Roaring Twenties. There was no limits to the speculation of contracts of the derivative market. And it outpaced itself. And of course, the central bank of the Rothschilds, the Federal Reserve, which was formed in 1913, just stopped the constriction of the credit to the independent banks across the various states. When they couldn't meet the demand of gold and silver-backed currencies to meet all these derivative bubbles, everything came crashing down. That was the root cause of the Great Depression. Well, in 1933, the Congress passed the Glass-Steagall Act, which outlawed any of this speculation and basically Ponzi scheme manipulations of the banks themselves. It was interesting, as I said on my show, Don, it was 66 years almost to the day that in 1999 Bill Clinton revoked the Glass-Steagall Act, and the result has been just the same as the Roaring Twenties. It's gone crazy, and it's going to collapse. It's already. I submit that people in 1930 to 1934 didn't know they were living in a Great Depression. It was just, you know, just tough times. It's only looking back in retrospect that you say, oh my goodness, this is depression. In some areas of this country, Don, it's worse than 1932.
Oh, absolutely. When you consider all the people that are living out on the street, living in tents, covering themselves up with a broken down cardboard box.
And you know what's really crazy here in Utah? There's these homeless shelters that are filled overflowing, not with the dirty bums that you can normally think of homeless people, but of families, children. They've lost their single family dwellings to repossessions. They're homeless. And so they're living in these big, you know, open air places, and it's not even dead of winter yet. They're overflowing. And they're doing this at the same time. Get this, all across the Salt Lake Valley and up here in my valley in Ogden, they have all of these bank repos that are going into the county, and they're blowing these things up. There's been five or six that have been set on fire for firefighter training. I kid you not, they're burning them or blowing them up, raising them down, and people are homeless.
Yeah, Deutsche Bank took over 2,000 houses a couple of years ago in Cleveland, Ohio, and they raised 1,000 of those houses before a judge ruled against Deutsche Bank because they couldn't show the original title. And, of course, the person that held the mortgage on the house was making the mortgage payments on the house and living in the house and had been foreclosed upon. Didn't have a copy of that. So it's fraud. There's a very simple solution, and that's to force them to produce that original document. And if the homeowner doesn't have a copy of that document, it's considered fraud. And rightfully so. It is fraud by design.
Now, yeah, the mortgage is really... The system, they haven't put their own money into it at all. They're not even putting other depositors' money into it,
mm-hmm.
typically. But it comes out of a government printing press. You know, it's not even a printing press. It's a blessed electronic debit entry in a blank computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. There's nothing there. It just expands the national debt cycle. That's all.
And
that's all it does.
And this is accomplished, it's not the sole means, but a lot of foreign countries or foreign banks are investing in these bonds. They're creating bonds, really, that are just as fraudulent. And so when it comes time to pay, the return from having invested in those bonds, there's no money because they've stolen that as well. Mm-hmm. You would think foreign countries would wise up to this. Now, to some extent, they have, but that Deutsche Bank is getting their hands on this paper. How do you think that's occurring? It smacks of Nazism, doesn't it? Fascism. And
well, that's who is controlling this. You look at who really was behind the Hitler regime and the Nazis. Again, it's the who was Rothschild? Who was his bloodline? It's the House of the Hessians. The Austrian bloodline ultimately is where Rothschild, the Red Shield of Frankfurt, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it comes from. I did a whole, 15 hours on this on my show. It's archived, the history and timeline and the bloodline of the Rothschild and their intermarriage. This is how Rothschild first. Made all this money. He got these mercenary Hessian troops from Austria and Germany, trained them in the most current military exercises, and basically put them out as mercenary soldiers for hire. And this is, of course, what King George used largely to fight the American Revolution, was were these foreign German Hessians. And the fact that after Cornwallis surrendered the Treaty of Versailles, one of the agreements that Franklin and others signed off on was to pay reparations to the Hessian soldiers killed or wounded. So does that sound like a victory?
No, not hardly. Not to mention the destruction of documents that occurred that would have revealed all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I also brought on my show tonight the definition of mill levy. A mill is defined as 1/1000th of the British sterling pound. So where do we get the idea of a property tax that's called a mill levy and is tied to the British pound? It's not an American term, because it's all a British tax designed and implemented to pay for war reparations to the Civil War, for heaven's sakes, and then into World War I, et cetera. On down the line, it's a British tribute to the City of London once again. We are back to colonial status. These property taxes, everybody that owns commercial or residential property, just do some digging. Go into your county recorder's office and dig and find out where the money that you pay, where it goes after you make your check out to the county assessor. Check it out. They'll tell you. If you're honest, they'll say it. Roughly a third goes to the state, a third goes to the county of origin, and the other third, follow the money. You'll find it goes to the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah, it's the same story over and over. I want to interject something here and get your thoughts on this. This comes from Pastor David Wilkerson. And this is a message, you know, because what we're really talking about is pure evil and spiritual warfare. I'm simplifying the whole issue, but I'd like to read something that he wrote, on the 22nd of this month regarding delayed answers to prayer. He says, "Most of us pray as David did in the day when I call, answer me speedily. Psalm 102:2. I am in trouble, hear me speedily. Psalm 69:17. The Hebrew word for speedily suggests right now, hurry up, in the very hour I call on you, do it. David was saying, Lord, I put my trust in you, but please hurry. God is in no hurry. He doesn't jump at our commands. In fact, at times you may wonder if he will ever answer. You cry out, weep, fast, and hope. But days go by, weeks, months, even years, and you don't receive even the slightest evidence that God is hearing you. First you question yourself, something must be blocking my prayers. You become perplexed, and over time your attitude toward God becomes something like this. Lord, what do I have to do to get this prayer answered? You promised in your word to give me an answer, and I prayed in faith. How many tears must I shed? Why does God delay answers to sincere prayers? It certainly isn't because he lacks power, and he is most willing for us to receive from him. No, the answer is found in this verse. He spake a parable unto them, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. The Greek word for lose heart or faint in the King James Version means relax, become weak or weary in faith, give up the struggle, no longer wait for completion. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The Lord is seeking for a praying people who will not relax or grow weary of coming to him. These people will wait on the Lord, not giving up before his work is completed, and they will be found waiting when he brings the answer. Now, the reason I read that is because we expect to see either God do something or someone else do it for us. And really, this has to become an issue that everyone gets involved in. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. And I personally believe that God sometimes lets us stew in our own juices, so to speak. We you know, he didn't create this mess. He just let us have enough rope to hang ourselves with the apathy and the greed that's befallen this country. And, you know, that's, again, the message of us at battlehymn.com is the scripture in Chronicles, where, you know, we need to humble ourselves and really as a people seek the face of God in humility and prayer, and he will heal our land. He promises us that. And, you know, it's never too late to do the right thing, but we have to hold accountable those greedy reptilian, whatever they are, the serpents, as Christ would call them, the generation of vipers that have put us into this trap to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And we have to acknowledge that to an extent we've allowed this to happen. Now, should we blame our parents or our grandparents? Well, is it going to be our children and our grandchildren blaming us for what we do or don't do now? It's quite possible, but then again, there's the possibility that they won't make it. They won't be around.
Well, that's all the more reason to dumb down the population.
Yes.
You know, increase the use of fluoride. The more heavy metals are shot into vaccines and children's blood. 30 some odd vaccines by the time a kid reaches puberty. I mean, you can't withstand too much of that without your brain totally going into autistic mode. And that's part of the plan and part of the way to keep the herd docile.
Yes. Well, in our closing minutes here, would you like to share anything with the listeners, a parting comment? Certainly, I want you to give out your website information and all that. We do that every show. But,
well, yeah.
Listeners, too. So
one of the things I just like to say is I do radio shows as a sideline. My primary business is I have a PhD in the field of nutrition, ladies and gentlemen, and I truly do have what I believe is the most unique line of mineral supplements available anywhere on the planet. Dr. Linus Pauling, two-time Nobel laureate, great in researcher. He spent his last decade of his life analyzing minerals and how their role is in health and wellness. And he said this very important quote to remember, is that you can trace every illness, every sickness, every disease state ultimately to a mineral deficiency. Now, that's an amazing statement. My PhD dissertation and research was just on this very thing as well. And so I have written a book on the subject. It's called Wellness Secrets for Life, and the role of minerals in that secret formula. It's a secret that was divulged in the 1930s to the Senate. The U.S. Senate did a full-scale investigation of this. I have the Senate document quoted in its entirety in the book, Don. It's an amazing story. If you want to maintain your most precious asset, and that's your health, you need to learn about minerals. And so we just invite you to order my book, if nothing else, learn about it. In fact, if you mention that you heard it on the show, we'll give you a free book if you promise to read it and share it with your friends. Just give us a call at our toll-free number at your convenience. That toll-free number is 866-989-9876. Real simple, 866-989-9876. Tell whoever answers the phone that you heard Dr. on the radio offer a free book, and we'll be happy to send it out to you. If you can help us with just the postage, it'll be great. If not, that's okay too. We just want you to get the book and do whatever you can to spread the word. Too many people are sick, Don. You know that. I mean, there's chronic disease states becoming rampant. The latest projections are by the year 2016, 35% of Americans will be diabetic. I mean, think about that. That's just unacceptable.
That's by design, yeah.
We have sick kids getting sick adults, getting to be sick adults, and it doesn't need to happen if you learn about specifically what minerals can do to help avoid that. So that's my mission. That's how I make my funds. You know, I was accused by Len the Shrill Horowitz of receiving money from some covert government agency. It's always survived. No, no, ladies and gentlemen, I sell a product. I sell a product that helps thousands of people worldwide. We just invite you to take a look at it. They're unique. It's water-soluble minerals. They're taken sublingually under the tongue. They go right into the bloodstream. Don't have to worry about digestive enzyme deficiencies that caused mineral deficiencies in the first place. This is the really neat way to get them right into the bloodstream. And we just invite you to learn about them. So, yeah, that's a plug, Don, but I think it's helpful for people to get that free book.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And, of course, I've read some of your stuff. I haven't tried any of your products. I should do that, I guess.
For you, anything you want, Don, I'd be happy to get you along. So, we have this product called Aqua Vivos. It's Latin for living water. My goodness, I wish I could tell you all the things that it can do. You wouldn't believe it. It's all vegetable. We've taken certain root vegetables such as rutabaga, turnips, onions to a certain degree. They all have some phytochemicals in them that become activated with certain other vegetable oils, ladies and gentlemen. And then there's another, it's a Chinese elm structure that causes a reaction that makes the concentrate go hydrophilic and then hydrophobic on either end of the molecular scale. What that means in layman's terms, it's a powerful antioxidant, a powerful, powerful wetting agent, all vegetable-based. We've had people put this on skin cancers, Don. It just really, really helps to heal that situation up rapidly. Cuts, bruises, topically, so many things it does. So I'm going to tell you this. This is not making a medical claim, but we did send it to ABC Labs in Gainesville, Florida for testing. They have MRSA cultures there, methicillin-resistant staph, which is epidemic in many of the hospitals around here. You get that antibiotic methicillin-resistant strain, and it's nasty. Well, this Aqua Vivos destroyed the culture on contact. And so, again, this is a supplement. It's all vegetable. It is all completely just natural in the form, but we've combined it in a way that's amazing and safe. So give it a try, folks. It's amazing stuff.
No, I'll have to do that. I've been reading your work more than trying your products. So,
and yeah, be happy to send you some out. You know, anybody that has skin cancer on the face, especially. You know, that's one of my. You know, I'm light skinned, Don, and my father had a tremendous battle with skin cancer to the point he had to have reconstructive surgery all over. And as a young, you know, when I was in my 30s, I had a lot of skin cancers burned off. And I still, if I'm out in the sun and get burned, I'll get some forms. I slap some Aqua Vivos on, and literally in 72 hours, it's gone. It's amazing, amazing stuff, I got to tell you.
Well, maybe we can do a show upcoming in the next week or two on this topic. I think it would be very interesting.
Sure. We've got that unique product that which I have, I don't patent anything because I have a intellectual property attorney who's not a big fan of government secrets, you know, being exposed with the patent offices. He thinks that's an absolute bad thing to do. So it's just what it is. If somebody can reverse engineer it, well, more power to them. But I don't think they can. It was kind of divinely given to me. We have also iridium and rhodium in a solute that's very, very effective for increasing brain capacity. You know, your brain is iridium and rhodium. If you take and have your brain assayed, I wouldn't recommend doing it until after you die. But you'll find it's largely composed of iridium and rhodium ions.
Yeah. So yeah. There's a discussion I'd like to have. Maybe we can go into this a little bit next week, in fact. The new chemtrails that recently have been sprayed throughout the world are showing toxic amounts of lithium. And there's some other analysis going on, and I'm waiting for a report on that. But that can lead to renal failure in the amounts that were described to me, and some other problems too.
Well, yeah, lithium is a primary mineral, but Don, it's the structure of any metal.
Mm-hmm.
Lithium, if you know, it's right. It's a very, very transitional element, but it's an energy-producing element, or it's can be very, very toxic, as you know. It all depends on its electron configuration.
And it's used, I think, as a binding agent. We've come across this before, too, in our vaccine research, or mutual research
right.
that you and I did about a year ago.
Lithium, as it's bound to a carbon structure, which is what you see in those chemtrails,
mm-hmm.
It is toxic, absolutely. And so lithium carbonate is by definition, by the FDA, a controlled substance. However, if you bind lithium with orotic acid, and so it's kind of lithium orotate, it is non-toxic. It's water-soluble. The body will release and dump it as you need to. And many, many of your degenerative brain diseases like Alzheimer's, your memory cells, there is a lack of water-soluble electron-enhanced lithium in the diet. So it's got a good and a bad side. So just like anything else,
mm-hmm.
you gotta be careful. Selenium is a very, very toxic heavy metal if it's in a new electron strip state. It becomes powerful free radical cancer causing mutagen. But on the same token, selenium, if it has free electrons attached to it, is a very, very powerful free radical scavenger on the same token. So you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to understand that. And that's part of my book, Wellness Secrets for Life. It explains how that works.
Yes. Okay. And your websites, meminerals.com, that's plural, meminerals.com. And for those that want to read some of your essays and your investigations, they can go to atrueot.com. That's the letter A followed by the word true, ott.com. And some of your papers are posted on my website, directlightproductions.com. Haven't said that all day until now.
And some of yours are on mine. So, yeah, that's I was talking. Your name came up in a conversation with Mr. Ciola there at the Crusader magazine, and how much we greatly admire Don Harkins and your high regard that Don Harkins had for you, Don Nikoloff, and that's how we met. I met Greg Ciola just before his death, Don Harkins' death. I did a huge write-up for the Crusader newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and and bet on the bird flu hoax. And Don wanted to do it, but he just didn't feel good enough to do it, so he assigned me to help out, and that was the last favor that Don did for both of us. Anyway, just we thought we just talked quite a bit about certain people going that are going on coast to coast and making wild accusations. I won't say anything more.
Okay. Well, True, I want to thank you for being on the show. It was very informative, very interesting, and I was able, maybe it's because I did so much radio today, I didn't feel a compulsion to go off on a rant.
Well, you did a great job, as always, Don. It's a pleasure being on the show, and look forward to next week. Good night.
Okay, we'll see you next week. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Chuat. Be sure, once again, to visit one or both of his websites. You can go to meminerals.com and certainly check into that free book. Also, his blog site, if you want to call it that, where he posts his research and some research from a few others, including yours truly. I was unaware of that. Go to atruot.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and over at BBS, Seth Hendrick on the sound. Also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Do want to also, again, thank my good friend Fred Badali for allowing me to hold his hand on his maiden voyage broadcast tonight on bbsradio.com. Be sure to tune into that every Monday, 1 hour before this show begins. And most of all, I want to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Dr. Mike Castle. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.